thank Mike very much for his presentation. We're going to have a time for questions and answers now. And so if you are a brother in the church and would like to ask a question, please raise your hand and I'll call on you. Logan will bring you the microphone. Wait for the microphone and stand up. Please speak clearly into the microphone so we can hear you and so we can get a good quality recording. And so we'll open now for questions. I'll start. You put on one of your slides the quotation from Galatians 2:4 about the false brethren who came to spy out our liberty in Christ. Mm-hmm. Does that verse help to give any indication as to whether or not the Judaizers were actually Christians, have obeyed the gospel at some point? Gareth Rees, in his commentary on Galatians, says this proves that they were not Christians, that they were Jews who were infiltrating the ranks of Christians secretly to bring people who had converted back out of Christianity altogether, to abandon Christ and to come back to Judaism. You agree with that interpretation?
Well, I don't know, other than to say that I've always taken it that these were Christians in the sense that they had been baptized, but they just wanted to add something to the law. As to whether they were just, I guess my question would be, how do they infiltrate without being found out? Of course, they are subversive and they are secretive, but it would have to be coming from a lack of leadership when people come in to say, you know, are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you been baptized? So I guess I've always taken it that these were folks who wanted to be Christians, but they also wanted their cake and eat it too.
Clint?
So do you think that there was a difference between the true teaching of the law of Moses and of God to Abraham about circumcision and the Judaizers' doctrine of circumcision? And if so, what was the difference between what was truly taught in the Old Testament about that rite? And what the, because in the Old Testament, was it essential to salvation for everybody? No, was there salvation for Gentiles on some occasions, people who didn't get circumcised? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, it seems that they had the same viewpoint of circumcision as the old law, but they just wanted to add it to the new to make it a part or part and parcel with salvation. Let me clarify your question a little bit for me. I'm not...
Well, if the Apostle Paul thought that it was just ritual mutilation, certainly he didn't view that as something sacred as the sign of the Abrahamic covenant's proper context. Abraham and the old Jews, they didn't view circumcision as just ritual mutilation.
Correct.
It was something more special and sacred to them.
Right.
So it appeared to me as I listened to what you were saying that the Judaizers looked at circumcision differently. They didn't really understand the spiritual significance of circumcision, even in its proper context, and they had given it some new meaning that never even was apprehended in the law of Moses. I mean, I just wondered your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't know what verse would prove that, a new meaning, that is. I mean, surely they also attached it to just their, you know, historic and their, ethnicity, but as to some new meaning, I don't know. I don't know what verse we would go to show that. So.
Someone else. He must have been quite thorough, brother. By the way.
I didn't want to really, I wanted everything yesterday brought up before I brought this up, but you know, what you said about them dogging the Apostle Paul and actually became one of the major conflicts of his ministry throughout his life. You know, Foy Wallace takes the position that the thorn in the flesh is the Judaizers.
Right.
And he compares it to like someone who's a pain in the neck. And he believes that was nothing physical with Paul, right, but it actually was the Judaizers that he was asking to be delivered. How do you feel about that?
I think there's a really good case that can be made for that. Now, I didn't study that, but I ran across that as I was researching. not for E. Wallace's information, but just some things on the net that I was reading articles. I think you can make a good case for that.
I think it's a much better case than I cited.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Glenn DeGette.
Well, how about this one? Do you think there's anybody in the religious world today who looks like Judaizers? And if so, what would that be? What would it look like to have Judaizing today?
Well, of course, the Seventh-day Adventists would appear to be Judaizers in that sense of binding the Sabbath. I guess the general principle, though, would be is that any time we try to bind something as a point of salvation that God has not bound, we become, in general, of the same mindset as the Judaizers. But the Seventh-day Adventists, I think, would certainly be, fall into that category.
Anyone else? Any closing remarks?
No, other than to say it's kind of a tough topic because you sort of have to tease out, but it just seems like no book of the New Testament, well, I shouldn't say no book, but most books of the New Testament, the epistles anyway, have some element. And I wonder if maybe this is a more pervasive problem than what we've ever really considered. And to me, it just opens up a whole desire to think more about this. You know, Smith and I were talking. You know, if it weren't for the Judaizing issue and the immorality of the Gentiles, we wouldn't have much left in the epistles because Paul deals with those two issues over and over and over. So, anyway, but thanks for assigning me this difficult topic. Okay, thanks.